Good morning, Jennifer. It's Tim Carter. Thanks so much for calling Ask the Builder. It's great to have you here today.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's wonderful to have you on the show.
Thank you.
So tell us about the problem with your home.
Well, I have a home that was built in 2002.
Okay.
And it is a three-level house that is built on a slope. And so when you look at the house from the front, it only looks like two stories. But if you look at the house from the back, you can see that it is three stories.
Well, we have a ton of those type of houses here where I live.
Well,
so we're really familiar with those.
Okay, great.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
In Florida, you know, the soil is a lot different than it is up where you are.
Yes, yes.
It is very porous, and I think that in making sure that the soil is properly impacted before you start building on a slope like this is very important in Florida.
No doubt about it. In fact, my degree, a lot of people don't know this. I have it in my biography, my autobiography on my website, but my college degree is in geology.
Oh, wow.
So I know a little bit about how houses interact with the planet, you know.
Okay.
So you're exactly right. You're on target here. I know where you're going with this.
Okay. Well, we've had a lot of the house sat vacant for a year before we moved into it in 2004. And within the last year, we have seen several cracks that have been occurring at joints in the walls where the two different flooring systems come together. So you have a concrete slab on the front portion of the house that is the foundation.
Yeah, that's up at the grade level.
Right. And then about midway onto that first level of the house, you then suddenly switch flooring systems so that it accommodates for the area down below.
Yeah, and I have a feeling that a lot of the builders down where you are, they're not even really familiar with, you know, either poured foundations. Was the foundation on that lower level poured, or was it a concrete block?
I believe it was poured.
Okay. Yeah, and they may not be familiar. In fact, I'm confident, because of the problem, that they're not confident of how to connect those two systems together.
Right.
You know, on a residential level, on a commercial industrial, with some of the bigger construction that's happening down there, those builders absolutely know how to pull off that detail.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what I think the problem is. Here's what I think you need to do. Was this a spec house one that was a builder was just building, and then you bought it, or is it a custom home that you hired the builder to build it?
It was actually a spec home that the builder built for, we have an event every year here in Florida that is called the Street of Dreams.
Okay.
And the builders come and build these dream homes. And actually, our builder built this home of ours, which is just over 6,500 square feet, in less than a year.
Oh, it's gorgeous. The photos you sent are breathtaking. It's a spectacular home.
Well, thank you. But
oh, it is. It's gorgeous.
Normally, people who build this size of a house, it takes over a year to do it, but he was pressed for time.
Well, we have the same thing here in town. We call it Homorama.
Okay.
and I don't know how to say this, but well, I'm just going to say it. The Homorama home would be the last home I would ever buy. That's just me. You know, I'm not saying everybody should have that same attitude. But anyway, here's what you need to do. Do you have any records or any photographs of the house right after you bought it?
Yes.
Great. Okay. I have a feeling, is this builder still in business?
Oh, yes.
Okay, good. Okay. You're probably, I used to do a lot of expert testimony work, which is why your email was really appealing to me, you know, because I know when I see people that have been taken advantage of, I get really upset.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're probably going to be hiring an attorney, but early in the process, and I actually think that's what you're going to need. Have you brought an attorney into the matter yet at all?
No, we have not.
Yeah, you're going to end up having to hire an attorney, and it's really important to get the right one. You need to do a little bit of homework. You need to find a local attorney who prosecutes these type of cases, and they have to prove to you they've done it. In other words, they actually need to show you, like just like you'd ask for references from somebody else,
mm-hmm.
You need to ask, say, okay, I need the names of five people that you've worked for who've had defective houses built, And I want to call them up. I want to see, you know, how it all turned out. And if they can't give you names, then walk out until you find an attorney that can.
Okay.
Okay, number two, you're going to need to hire a certified, registered structural engineer down in the state of Florida, and especially one that specializes in residential work.
Okay.
And I'm pretty confident you'll find one or two in your area. But, like I said, you need to make sure that there's no conflict of interest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because typically a lot of builders hire, when I was still building, I would hire one or two structural engineers on a regular basis if I had to go to them, if I had a problem. Like, hey, I've got a problem here. How do we solve this? You know, what kind of beam do I put in? Blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to be hiring the engineer that works for this builder.
Right.
Oh, man, that's death on a stick.
Right.
So you got to flush that out early in the process.
Okay.
And what's going to happen is an expert's going to be able to come in, look at the situation. They may even have to do a little bit of destructive testing, you know, pull some things back to see how things were done. And what you're also looking for, if you've got a pen and paper, this is really important. This is where these lawsuits are won or lost early in the game so that you don't burn through a lot of money with the attorney.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get a copy of the building code that was in force at the time the house was built, and that's easy to get.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to look for as many building code violations as possible.
Okay.
That's where you're going to win, because the building code is law. And especially down where you are after 10 years ago with Hurricane Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you develop this list of maybe 10 or 15 or 20 building code violations that really have not much to do with the structural problem,
mm-hmm.
it's a slam dunk.
Sure.
Oh, this thing could be over in 6 months.
Right.
I've seen these things drag out 2 years.
Yeah.
And you want to go right to the heart of the matter and just make this huge list of every single possible building code violation. And then what happens when those two attorneys start to talk, your strong attorney just says, look, we've got you guys, man. You're going to lose this thing if we go to trial. And they settle.
Yeah.
So you got to pull your emotion out of it, you know what I mean? And just go right to the heart of the matter.
What happens if the builder had a license that he failed to renew at the time that he was building the house and then subsequently renewed it?
Well, I'm not an expert in Florida law, but I would think that's death on a stick.
Okay.
Oh, you know, that just, he's just... And what did you say, Jamie?
We also pulled a copy of the building plans from the city that were approved, and the house is slightly different than what was actually built, because I'm sure, as you know, when these houses are built for these shows, there's changes made, you know, in a split second on the job.
Yes, yes.
That help better the look of the house, and none of it is approved through the city.
Hey, Jennifer, I can chime in for you real quick.
Okay.
You know, in terms of the renewal of his license, you want to be careful to not get too hot on that topic, because he could have a grace period of either a 30, 60, or 90 day. You know, it depends on the state, but sometimes I know there are grace periods and renewals.
Okay.
So that could be a sort of an issue from that standpoint. And on the terms of the building, I know that when they what they call bid and spec, and what you're talking about is terms they sort of speculate on what the property is going to look like. The plans are pretty close. Sometimes there are some deviations, and there could have been a change order.
Mm-hmm.
So typically, if there's a change in a building, they're going to call that a change order. So you want to look for the change orders on the products.
That's Jennifer, that's Jamie Gertz. And Jamie is from a heating and air conditioning company here in town, and I've got him in as a guest today. So he and I are both have been involved, you know, in the trades for years. So there's little nuances, but... where you're really going to win this case, in other words, that's why I'm glad you brought that up, where you want your attention diverted to, where you want to be right on target, are these building codes.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done it for too many years. As soon as I bring up the list of building code violations, what always happened is that the defense attorney, they just gave up. They cried uncle right there.
Right.
Because they recognize, as an attorney, this is what a lot of people don't realize, the building code is a set of laws that's written into the state statute that's not any different than rape, murder, serious traffic violations, white-collar fraud. See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's state law.
Mm-hmm.
And it's black and white. That's the beautiful part. See, whereas your engineer, if you're not careful, you can get an engineer in there that says, well, you know, if I would have poured this slab, I would have put steel this way. And the builder said, well, I don't care how you would have done it. I did it this way. And they just get into an argument. There's no law.
Right.
See what I'm trying to say?
Right.
But, man, with building code violations, it's ugly. I mean, when you start pointing them out, they have no defense.
Yep.
There's none. Zero.
Well, let me ask you this. If it is a soil issue that you think may be what's causing this cracking because the soil wasn't properly impacted before they started building, remember, this house now went through 3 to 4 hurricanes just in August and September of last year.
Right, and that's what happened. That wind force was pushing on this thing. You bet. And that absolutely is what I think happened. People don't realize how much force. Just pick a piece of plywood up and try to walk across your yard on a halfway windy day.
Yeah.
And imagine how much force is against that piece of plywood and then multiply that over the entire face of a house.
Right.
You bet they can move.
Okay.
Oh, no. So you have a lot of issues going on. But I just wanted to get you on the same page that it's time for you to call an attorney and get a good one. And then if you need to email me a few little questions about that, feel free to do it. Or you're more than welcome to call back any Saturday, and I'll walk you through this.
Okay.
Because you could, if you're not careful, you can burn through a lot of money quickly.
Right.
But I know exactly how to get right to the heart of the matter.
Okay.
You know, it's just to minimize your pain and your suffering.
Okay.
All right, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Thanks for waking up and calling Ask the Builder.
No problem.
All right, pal. Bye.
Bye.